We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Let me ask you, now we're going to talk about the title of the message is Good Friday. Say it with me. Good Friday. Now, why is the Friday Jesus was crucified called good? John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, it says, "And Jesus said this. He looked toward heaven and prayed, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you.'" Verse 2 says, "For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought your glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Every year, it's a special time we spend together on Good Friday, and we take a moment before our Easter celebration, and we remember that the empty grave would not be if Jesus had not first accepted the cross. Everything, absolutely everything, rode on his decision. And Jesus understood his purpose. John chapter 12, verse 24, it says, "But most assuredly I say to you," and Jesus is saying this, "unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies," everybody say, "if it dies, it produces much grain." Now, many people missed the meaning of this parable, but Jesus was telling the very reason he must die. And it's interesting, the number of people that just did not get this. They just didn't catch it. And he explained it was about the many lives that could be saved if he gave up his life. Now, I don't know about you, but I can remember it as a young believer, as I would read about Jesus going to the cross, and I would, the mockery, they spit on him, they slapped him, they abused him, everything you can imagine. And I'm thinking, man, bravery is one thing. This is something beyond bravery. And you think about all that he went through. And then as I marveled at that as a young believer, and I thought about, you know, I think every guy wants to be a brave guy. But man, Jesus is taking it up another level. And I'm thinking about all that. And then I came to the scripture in Hebrews that explained how he did that, because I used to pray, "Lord, how did you do that? Where did you find that kind of grit? I mean, I know he's fully God and fully man, but where did you, how do you do that?" And then the scripture says, for the joy that was set before him. For the joy that was set before him. Let me encourage you, when you get in your toughest situation, when you get in bad situations, always look forward to the joy that awaits you through obedience in the situation, even if that situation is going to feel like it takes you to the ground. Go with it. Go with it. And Jesus accepted his mission in John 12, 27 through 29. It says, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say?" Now, this is Jesus talking. His soul is troubled. "And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour." Let me pause right here. For this purpose, his purpose was to come and to die on the cross. And he knew that. I was at the hairdresser the other day, and this little lady comes in, nice looking, very, very elderly lady. She must have been in her 90s. And she had a cane, and she was getting around, and she says, "I'm so decrepit." And she's hobbling around there, and I thought she was doing pretty well for her apparent age. And I could tell as she spoke, this lady's educated. This lady's been around. You can just tell the language and all that. But she kept making excuses for why she couldn't get up in the chair as fast as she used to and all of these other things. And I was sitting there thinking, it's Easter weekend. People like this lady are really, their next stage is through the door into eternal life. And I was just thinking how horrifying a situation that would be to me if I didn't know the Lord. I mean, you know, the Apostle Paul said he would rather go on. When your faith gets strong, your faith in the resurrection is strong, and your faith that the Lord has paid the price, and your faith that you're walking with Him, and all of those things are together, you don't have to fear death. You may not enjoy the process. You don't know what it's going to take to get through the door, but you know what's on the other side of the door. And so, as I thought about this little lady and I thought about Easter, and I thought, man, at that age, everybody wants to know that they're ready. And then I thought, you know what? At any age, every age, no matter how young the age, we need to know. And so here Jesus says, for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. You know, Jesus made his decision not to throw in the towel. If you watch UFC on TV, the guys can tap out. If it gets too rough and they can't go any further, and when you're being choked out and you got no more oxygen, you tap out. When the guy's got you in an arm bar and he's going to dislocate your elbow, you tap out. But they did all of that to Jesus and more. But he never tapped out. He was going to die anyway. And I want to encourage you tonight. We all need this. The power to a powerful life is just to keep going. Outlive your enemies. Be there when the others are all done. Bloodied, battered, it doesn't matter. Just don't quit. Keep moving forward. But Jesus didn't throw in the towel in the hardest season of his life, but he allowed his purpose to fuel his choice. Think about that. Do you allow your purpose to fuel your choice? Jesus did in the face of certain death. And Jesus was fulfilling the purpose his Father had given him. We need to understand there are times the Bible says there are going to be many of the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says. Because you go through something doesn't mean you did something wrong. And you need to just go through it. Turn to God. Go through it. Keep on. And you'll be there in the end. So why was Friday good? It's hard to call it good when, naturally speaking, we know it is the most horrific Friday in human history. But Jesus saw a good thing about that Friday. Jesus understood death meant life. Jesus understood death meant life. He understood what obedience meant for us. John 12, 31 through 33 says, the time for judging this world has come when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. It's good to keep those kinds of verses in your mind. The devil's day is coming to an end. Ours is going to just begin. Devil's got to end to everything, and we need to understand that. Verse 32, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He said this to indicate how he was going to die. Here Jesus is actually prophesying what was going to be good about that Friday. He's saying these things so that they would understand. You know, the thing that made this good, that it was the beginning of the end, was being set in motion. Now you think about all Jesus had lived out, all he had gone through, everything that he had dealt with, and now he's come to the peak of it, and now it's Friday. Now it's death day. Now it's the time. And the thing that is good about it is that the beginning of the end was being set into motion, where Satan would finally be defeated and his followers would be judged. And let me just say this. You know, God's not sending anyone to hell. People will go because they chose that. God gave us Jesus. He says, choose Jesus. I put before you a blessing and a cursing. Choose the blessing. It's so good. And we need to see and understand. And we can't go into all the history of why the Bible is so true, but it is. And then the second thing, because Jesus was going to be lifted up on the cross and give up his life, it would produce many souls that would be saved from the coming judgment. Everybody say judgment. We don't like to think about judgment. Some people wouldn't use the word. But Jesus was really thinking about judgment. And the joy that was taking him to the cross was your face, your family's face, your neighbor's face, your boss's face, your enemy's face. And he sees all those faces. And he goes to the cross to get the job done. It would produce many souls that would be saved from the coming judgment. Jesus continually told them how he must die and the manner in which it must happen. Many know the scripture. It's probably one of the most well-known scriptures. John 3:16. You see it between the goalposts, behind the backboard, the backstop, all the sports. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and so on. But what most people can't tell you is the two verses that precede that verse. The pretext that sets up that verse. And those two verses, or three verses, 13 through 15. No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. In the Old Testament, you remember, people were dying. They were just falling to the ground dying, and Moses had to hold up. They held up that serpent, and when he did, it stopped the death. And when Jesus got lifted up on the cross, he did it to stop the death. And we need to understand that's what's good about Friday. When we see the crucifixion through the lens of death for life, we start to see a positive exchange. We begin to understand why we call it Good Friday. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, he himself, speaking of Jesus, said he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Death produces a new life. Now, Jesus knew there was no other way. Remember, he prayed about that. He prayed three times about that. But then he said, not my will, your will be done. If there was another way, it would have been nice. But there was not another way. And sometimes the things in our life, there's just not another way. There's something that's going to cost us, but that's short term. And we've got to be long term thinkers. And so Jesus knew that there was no other way. There are many that struggle with the thought of judgment. We want to keep God in our box, and if he will only act as our perceptions allow him, if we don't believe it of him, then it will not happen. Some people actually, whether they understand or not, somehow form that because don't want to think about things that would involve judgment. But, for example, some might say, the God I know has only love for his creation and could not, would not be judgmental. He would certainly not judge his creation to hell. Well, just because some may believe this does not mean it is true. And we got to be careful that we go to what God said and not what we said or what someone else said or what a group said. We've got to know what the word says. Because the word sets you free. To think of God only as love without him also being the God of justice, holiness, and salvation is to not see him for all that he is. We don't want to have a little bitty God. We need a great big God. We need an all-powerful, sovereign, absolute God who does not change. Isn't it great? He gave us one book and he said, I'm not changing. As a pastor, I appreciated that. You know, you could imagine God could have written a volume of like encyclopedias. Young people don't even know what an encyclopedia is. Wikipedia will do. Maybe. He would certainly not judge his own creation. You know, we cannot receive salvation if we do not acknowledge our need for saving. Let me say something here. You know, we need to understand when we're wanting to share God's love with somebody, when we want to help someone see the Lord, we need to realize that many, many people today have no idea that they even need to be saved. Oftentimes in our outreach efforts, we go with an assumption that they realize that they are wrong. Simply because they're human, we're all wrong. But we need to understand that's not always the case. We've got to acknowledge our need for needing to be saved. Our choosing to look the other way for things that don't sit well with us does not change or reframe the truth of God. Our certainty does not change God's nature. Think about that. It's interesting. Over the years, you talk to a lot of people, and it's interesting because people have sincere, deeply seated thoughts and ideas and concepts, and they believe these things really, really solidly. But if you just ask them, well, what do you base that on? I mean, in a respectful, sincere, and honest way. Well, that's an interesting statement. What do you base that on? As they start digging backwards, they don't know where they got that, unless it was just a family saying, or they picked it up somewhere. And when we do those things, we have a tendency to let our certainties try to change God's nature, and it won't do that. Jesus knows this. He knew there was nothing we could do. Without his mercy, without his grace, without his sacrifice, there was not a way that you or I or any other human being could have corrected the Garden of Wrong. Yeah, Eden. I was a little bit lost. I was totally lost. Garden of what? All I could think of was Gethsemane. I'm glad you got to Eden. But we cannot correct what happened in the Garden of Eden. There's not a human way. There's not enough wealth. There's not enough education. There's not enough wisdom. It's humanly impossible. And Jesus knew that. He knew there was nothing we could do. There was no other way but through his sacrifice. Why couldn't there be another way? God's not at the mercy of anyone or anything. That's one reason. And he's not at the mercy of anything outside of him or his word. That's why our mercy had to come from him, from heaven. It had to be his son. One that was not created by God, instead begotten, produced of, or from God. God is love. He's absolutely love. God doesn't try to love. He is love. Good Friday is God's ultimate proof, exhibit A, of his love toward us. He loved us so much that he made a way out. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Now take notice that doesn't say the church. God so loved the world. That's why we're to pray for our enemies. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And you know, when it comes to us, when we're bringing the Lord's tithe into his church, into his storehouse, when we bring our offerings in, that's a statement of our love. And God so loved, he gave, and he gave his only begotten son. Although the crucifixion can be hard to think of or stomach, sin had to be paid for in full. And God did it with his only son. Transgression cannot stand in the presence of God. Jesus had to cover our transgressions. What makes Good Friday good is that God proved the payment for sin, provided the payment for sin because of his love for us. That's what makes it good. And when we think about, oh, it's the day he died, it's the day he was tortured, it's the day he was crucified, and all those things, every drop of blood was saying, I give it up. Every drop of blood was saying, I love you that much. Good Friday, the cross, the brutal sacrifice of the Son was the road we must take to receive our salvation. Christ alone is our atonement. He's our sacrifice and our propitiation. In other words, the reconciliation of God and humankind through Jesus Christ. There's no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. There's no resurrection without the cross. We must face Friday in our lives before we too can see Sunday. And it's a good thing when you face your Friday, when you come to that place where you come to your cross. And you know, someone has said that that cross is just the intersection of where the will of God and our will meets. And we decide to yield. And we decide to pray what Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. What does that mean? We also must embrace the cross before we can enjoy the benefits of the empty tomb. Matthew 16, verses 21 through 25 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it.'" The cross changes everything. If something's pursuing you, then perhaps the event that will change everything for you is the cross. If nothing is changing, maybe you haven't been to the cross. Easter is indeed about the empty tomb, but it's first about the cross. The symbol used to portray Christianity is not an empty tomb. It's the symbol of the cross, the symbol of our atonement, the symbol of our new covenant through Jesus. When it's all said and done, we will be known by God in one of two ways: as the ones that were bought by the precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, or the ones whose hands are covered with the blood of Jesus. There won't be an in-between. But it's so simple. We choose Jesus and all of the rest becomes history. God gives us the choice. We can choose to accept what his son did that night for us. Make no mistake about it. To not accept Christ is to deny him. And this Easter season, every Easter, oh, the number of people that come to the Lord. Thank God there's Easter. Some people don't get to church often and don't understand the importance and so on. But they come for special things like Easter. And when they come in and then they hear the truth and they actually realize there's no gray zone. And God loves me that much. And the scripture says, "Do you not know that it's the love of God that causes us to repent?" In other words, to realize, I've sinned. I'm sure I've sinned. I'm human. The Bible says we've all sinned. But it's not the thumping of the Bible. It's not the pointing of the finger. What will save your life is when you sense and understand that God loves you, regardless of where you've been, regardless of what you've done, and that you understand that it's his pleasure, it's his joy. The Bible says it's not his will for one person to perish. And so right now I want to give all of us the opportunity. Maybe you need to refresh your commitment today, but maybe you've never made a commitment. And it's simple. You don't have to understand everything in the Bible. You don't have to go through any special things. All you need to do is decide in your mind, do I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do I believe that I've sinned? Do I believe I need somebody because I can't get the sin straight? No matter how hard I work, I'm not going to get that done. If you can just make that decision, your life can be totally fresh. You can have a new start. You can get going again today. And God would love you to do that. Why don't you bow your heads with me?
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.